The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the first verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he cometh together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee.
I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The 15th chapter of Luke that we've just had read consists of three parables, if you were listening: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's what the Pharisees and scribes said about Jesus. So how does that strike us? What do we hear in those words? Are they words of complaint and disagreement, or ones of hope and invitation? At one level, the words of the Pharisees and scribes are simply a statement of fact. That's what Jesus did. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. Not only does Luke tell us this, but so do Matthew and Mark. At another level, they are an accusation, an indictment, and a judgment. In the eyes and words of the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus is guilty of violating the law and social norms of the day. At the deepest level, however, their words are, ironically enough, a statement of the gospel. They have just spoken the good news. Jesus not only welcomes the sinners, he eats with them. Eating with them means there is relationship and acceptance. Jesus has aligned himself with them. He is on their side. And throughout the gospel stories, Jesus chooses to mix with the wrong kind of people. That's why in today's gospel, the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. He offered them something no one else could or would. That's also why the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling. Jesus was breaking the law, crossing lines, and making God just a little too easily available. Now, most of us at some time in our lives probably hung out with the wrong people when we were young. I have 4 brothers and no sister. My mother was on her own with us 5. My father, a civil engineer based in northern Nigeria, returning occasionally on extended leave, receiving his OBE in due course for services to the newly independent Nigeria. My mother refused to accompany him to Africa and masterfully brought up us children more or less on her own in North London. We were dedicated to our church, where we were all christened and confirmed. My mother, a stalwart church warden, and marching us there every Sunday, where a young curate, Desmond Tutu, and his wife and 4 children lived in the tiny curate's flat. So my formative teenage days were spent hanging out with my four brothers supposedly looking after me, but in reality largely ignoring me and hanging out with our rather dubious friends, strongly disapproved of by my mother. And in our gospel reading today, I wonder if the fact that Jesus chose to hang out with the wrong kind of people is why we might not hear these words of the Pharisees and scribes. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, and seeing it as good news. The difficulty for most of us is that we don't see ourselves as the wrong kind of people. To the contrary, we try really, really hard to be the right kind of people. There are times when we do and say the wrong things. Sometimes we are guilty. Generally, however, we behave and do and say what's right, or at least we try to. We look, speak, and act the part expected of us. We love our spouse and children. We are honest in our business affairs. We are kind and friendly to each other. We work hard, provide for our families, and help our friends. We love and respect our queen and the royal family. We attend church and say our prayers. We care about the poor. We donate time, money, food, and clothes to those in need. I'm not suggesting we need to make ourselves into different kind of people, whatever that might look like. I'm suggesting that we need a definitive starting point, not only for ourselves, but also for each other. Because the starting point for Jesus in all these activities is pure grace. Searching, not blaming, finding, not punishing, rejoicing, not condemning. The first question for Jesus is not one of sin, who's in and who's out, or who gets a supper invitation. For Jesus, everyone is already in, everyone is invited. The first question and primary concern is one of presence. Have we shown up, or are we lost and missing? Notice the parables Jesus offers. They're not about being wrong. They are about being lost. A sheep is lost. A coin is lost. There is nothing about culpability, blame, or finding fault. That doesn't seem to be at all Jesus' concern. His concern is for the one that is lost, missing, absent. Jesus doesn't explain how the lost one became lost. He doesn't blame or judge. That's not the issue. The issue for Jesus is recovering and reclaiming the lost. And that grace and character of our gospel reading today is revealed in Jesus' searching, finding, and rejoicing. Those are not three different things, three separate actions or moments in time, but three manifestations of God's single grace. They are the ongoing presence of God in Christ in each one of us. Depending on the circumstances of our lives, we experience that grace differently as searching, finding, or rejoicing. Ultimately, it means there is a place set for each one of us at the table. We all matter. We are desired by and important to God. Jesus, who welcomes sinners and eats with them, is constantly searching for us, finding us, and rejoicing over our presence at his table. Can we not make sure we are all there?